I want to share with you guys today a story that is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it's one of my favorite stories because I really feel like it's my story. My story is woven throughout the story I'm going to share with you today. And this is a story that you've probably heard quite a few times in your life if you grew up in church. It's a story that we teach little kids, and you'll see it on like paintings and all kinds of stuff. It's the story of Jonah and the whale. And to kind of give you a little different perspective starting off, in case you've heard the story before, I want to give you a different kind of angle. And so my daughter Harper, about a year ago, she came home from church, and they had learned the story of Jonah and the whale, and I asked her to share it with me, and she did this on video, and so I want her to share her version of the story of Jonah and the whale this morning.
God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he said no, and he went on the boat. One ticket to not Nineveh, please. There you go. Throw me overboard. If you do, the storm will stop. Out. 3 days later. Wait. I got to smell. Please not. Jonah said to the people that God's going to kill you if you don't. If you don't follow his way, and he loves you, and he doesn't want to kill you, but, and they said yes, and they prayed to God, yeah.
I thought about just giving an altar call when she says, you know, God's going to kill you, but, you know, maybe not if you turn to him. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it is a classic kid's story. But it's easy to miss, I think, the bigger story that's happening here. Like I said, Jonah's story is my story, and I believe that as we go through this morning, that you may see your story in it as well. And in this story, God really challenges Jonah, and he asks him a very specific question at the end of the story that I believe that God wants to ask to us as well this morning. And so we're gonna just take a moment and pray and just ask that God will give us fresh eyes to see this story this morning. Father, I pray that as we share together this morning, God, that you would speak to us, and God, that you would help us see our story and see a bigger story that's unfolding and what you're wanting to do through our lives and the mission that you're calling us to. Let's pray us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to read the story of Jonah. It's Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked the people are." But Jonah got up, and he went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord. And so what we have here is God is calling Jonah to a mission. He's saying, I have something that I want you to do. I want you to go to these people, and I want you to help direct these people that are living in darkness to the light. These people that have no idea of who I am and about my love, I want you to explain my ways and tell them about a love that's available to them if they would turn to me. And really, this mission that God gives Jonah is the mission that has existed from the very beginning, from the time that Adam and Eve in the garden went the opposite direction of what God asked them to do. God's mission ever since has been to reclaim his kids, to call people that are lost to be found, those that are in the darkness back into the light. This is God's mission from the very beginning, and he calls Jonah. But Jonah does something that I can relate to. Jonah goes the opposite direction. This is my story. See, I grew up in a pastor's home, and I heard the message over and over again. And for a big part of my life, I went the opposite direction. I'd feel God speaking something to me, and rather than respond and follow him, I would go, and I'd turn, and I'd go the opposite direction. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe there's a time you felt like God was calling you to something and you wanted to say yes, but you left and you went the opposite direction. As parents, there's times where We experience this with our kids, where we tell our kids something and they go the opposite direction. This past week, my kids were in the middle of a big fight, and right now they're at a stage where their fights are like escalating really quickly. And so I've got an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And my two girls, the youngest two, when they fight, I mean, they fight nasty. And so, like, they'll pull each other's hair and like, punch each other in the nose. I mean, it can be really bad. And this one day in particular, they were in this fight, and it had been a long day. I mean, we were worn out. My wife and I were, like, laying in the bed. And we called them into the room and, you know, guys, you all cannot be fighting like this. And we sent them and said, go to your rooms and just spend some time thinking about what, you know, what you're doing. And I'll come get you when you can come out. And I don't know if they saw, like, the weakness in our eyes as we laid there in the bed and just didn't really think that we had the energy to follow through. But they walked out of the room, and as they're walking toward down the hall, and I could see, they come to this point where they could either go to the right and go down the stairs, to not Nineveh, or go left to their rooms where they're supposed to. And they stop and, like, they think for a moment, and they go to the right. And they go and they go the opposite direction. And it's frustrating as a parent. And I think that God feels that frustration at times because we do this. We go the opposite direction. But Jonah did this. But before we would get kind of like kill Jonah for making these terrible choices, it's important to understand that God was asking Jonah to do something very difficult. The mission that God gave Jonah was a difficult, challenging mission. He was requesting Jonah to go and travel to a city that was... This would have been like a month's travel that he would have been on this mission. A long way away to a people that were not his people. And customs that were not his customs. And there's something that's uncomfortable at times when we travel to places that are not our own. I went to Ecuador this past month. And when I arrived in Ecuador, I was surprised as we went to a restaurant. And I went in and I had to use the restroom and after using the restroom, I go to get some toilet paper. There's no toilet paper. No toilet paper anywhere. And I'm like, okay, what do you do here? And I didn't really understand. And there's no signs even requesting that people, employees, wash their hands when they come out. And I'm trying to figure out how this all works together. As we would drive down the road and go to gas stations, there'd be no toilet paper. We'd go to people's houses. There'd be no toilet paper. I still don't have any idea what people did there in Ecuador with this toilet paper situation. I know right now in Rio, with the Olympics coming, that the police are striking, and one of their kind of crazy requests is that they want toilet paper. So not the whole world doesn't live like we live, okay? And Jonah is in a situation where God's calling him to go somewhere that would have been uncomfortable to him, because he was calling him to go somewhere to a people that Jonah would have hated. To a people that were the enemies of God's people. This was the capital of Assyria, and it was the enemy of God's people. And so Jonah would have thought that those people did not deserve God's love, that God could not love people like them. And so this is a difficult request that God has given to Jonah, and it's uncomfortable to him. But, and this is kind of the big idea I want you to get this morning. This is what we have to grab hold of, is that God is more concerned about his mission than he is with our comfort. God is more concerned with his mission than he is with our comfort. Say that with me, okay? Say this first part. God is more concerned with his mission. Go ahead. Than he is about our comfort. This is so true that God's more concerned about his mission. His priority has always been about his mission. That doesn't mean that he doesn't care if we're uncomfortable and he wants us to go through hard stuff. It just means that God loves people so desperately. That's the priority. That's the high calling that every one of us is called to follow after. That he wants his children to come home. And this morning, you may be in a spot where you feel separated from God. You feel like you've made some wrong choices. You've gone some opposite directions. And maybe the whole reason you're here this morning is that God just wanted you to know this, that God loves you, that his priority is calling and reaching out to you to let you know that you're loved and that he wants you to be a part of his family, that he wants you to be his son or his daughter. And this mission, God invites us to be a part of it. He invites us to a bigger mission. And I have a tendency in my life, and you might as well, to live for a smaller mission. I have a tendency in my life to live for a mission that I'm comfortable with. See, Jonah was comfortable with being a prophet, but he was only comfortable going to the places that he wanted to go, to the people he thought deserved God's love. He would go to the Jewish people, but God called him to something uncomfortable, and that mission was too big for him. He was stuck in his little small mission. Maybe you're comfortable in a mission of where, yeah, I want to kind of know God, and I'll come to church some. I'll try to be regular. Maybe I'll give some money. You know, and God and I are going to be okay. And it's kind of a small mission, but God is always calling us back to a bigger mission. There's a bigger mission that God has for each of us. And God calls Jonah to this bigger mission, but Jonah runs. He goes the opposite direction, and he gets on a boat. And this picks up in verse 4. It says, "But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart." Now, this must have been a pretty bad storm, because it must have been abnormally bad. These were seasoned sailors, and they see this storm coming, and their response is, who did something, right? Somebody had to have done something. Somebody did something pretty bad, because this isn't normal. Something's wrong here. And they're asking everybody, who did something? Who did something? And Jonah kind of raises his hand and says, I think it's me. I'm running from God. In fact, I think if you'd put me outside the boat, the storm would stop. And they kind of talk about it for a moment, and they come to the conclusion, okay, let's do it. And I'm glad that we don't do this anymore, right? I'm glad that there's not like a tornado coming through town, and we all kind of look around and we say, it was probably Jack Connor. Let's put him out front, and we'll sing some verses of Have Thine Own Way and just kind of see what happens. You know, we don't do that, but they did this with Jonah. They put him outside, and there's this whole picture of Jonah sinking down in the ocean and seaweed wrapping around his neck. And Jonah, I mean, he would have thought he was about to die. He knew he was about to die. And in those moments, if he's like us, and I'm sure he was, Jonah probably started thinking through, man, I wish I had done some things differently. God, if you would just get me out of this spot. God, if you could turn this thing around, I would be your man. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. God, I'll do anything. Just get me out of this situation. Have you ever made promises to God like that? God, if you can just get me through this, I promise I'll never do this again. This is the last time, God. It'll never happen again. God, just bring me through. You know, there's something about those times when we are like desperate and we're making promises. We don't tend to follow through on those, right? It's like when we're shopping in the store and they see something they want, and they're like, Dad, if you get this for me, I promise I will do anything. I will clean the house for the rest of my life. And just something about that sentence, I don't believe. And so, you know, I don't ever let them do that. But Jonah, I'm sure, was making these promises, and God comes through for him. He sends this giant fish who swallows him up. And for 3 days, he's in the belly of this fish. It's a crazy, crazy story. And after 3 days, he spits Jonah onto dry land. And Jonah gets up and he goes and he does what God told him to do. He shares the message. He goes to Nineveh. And it says in Jonah 3, 1 through 2, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message that I've given to you." Scripture says that God comes to Jonah a second time. That's been my story. Over and over again. Times in my life when I've gone the opposite direction of what God has asked me to do. And I would love to say that it was all before I became a Christian and became a pastor, and since then I've always done the right thing. But even as a pastor, there's been times when I've gone the opposite direction of what God was calling me to. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that time and time again, God has come to me a second time. God has come to me a third time. The word of the Lord has come to me a fourth, a fifth, a hundredth time. That God never has given up on me. You know, the same is true for you. God will never give up on you. He will never stop coming to you a second time and a third time and a hundredth time. And if we live long enough, a thousandth time. God keeps coming and coming and coming. And so he comes to Jonah, and Jonah goes and he reluctantly shares the message. And something miraculous takes place. The people repent. The people begin to fast and pray and call out to God to have mercy upon them. And they repent. And you would think that Jonah would be just so thrilled. I mean, he is a prophet of God. He's supposed to be God's messenger, have God's heart, that he would just be thrilled to see people coming forward and giving their lives to God. But Jonah gets angry. Jonah gets angry because Jonah doesn't think that these people deserve God's forgiveness. Jonah's mad because he doesn't think they deserve a second chance. And the really sad thing about this, and when we see this in people around us, and maybe we see this in ourselves, it really is a pretty disgusting trait. Because if you think back just a second earlier, didn't Jonah just get a second chance? Didn't God just come to Jonah and say, the word of the Lord has come to you a second time, here's your second chance? And now God's doing the same thing for someone else, giving them a second chance, but Jonah's saying, yeah, but they don't deserve it. I say, I meant it, God. I was really, they're not really sorry. And we put a kind of a disclaimer on who deserves God's grace and God's mercy. And so Jonah's mad and he's frustrated. And the story kind of lays out that Jonah is it's like he goes into a corner and he sits down and he's watching this whole scene unfold before himself. And he's just mad and he's got this pouty face on, and it's like my little daughter Harper sometimes when she gets really upset and she wants to get her way. She'll just get this mad face and just not even look at me. I mean, she won't even make eye contact and just mad. But every once in a while, she'll glance over and see if I'm still paying attention, and she's back to mad and still mad. And that's kind of what Jonah's doing. He's sitting over here in the corner watching the city saying, maybe there's a chance that God will change his mind and this whole thing will come crashing, burning down. And he's sitting there. And in Jonah 4, 5 through 9, we have this picture of Jonah sitting there in this kind of angry state, watching the city. And as he's sitting there, he's burning up. It's hot out. And so God does something for me. He gives him this leafy plant, this gourd plant, that comes up and it provides shade for him. And it's like all of a sudden he has air conditioning and Jonah's happy again. And he's like, oh, this is great, you know, and God's made me comfortable and he's so excited. But then God sends a worm to eat the plant and the plant withers away and dies. And now all of a sudden Jonah's bald spot on the top of his head is getting burned and he's mad and he's hot again. And he's so frustrated. He says that he's so mad that he wants to die. Verse 9 says, then the Lord said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. I mean, talk about a drama queen, right? I mean, just it's a crazy story when you think about all that God has done and all that Jonah has seen. That he's had God call him to this great mission and he'd ran the opposite direction. And God sends this great storm to kind of stop him. And he gets thrown overboard and God sends this fish to swallow him up. And 3 days later, it spits him out on dry land. And miraculously, all these people respond to God's message. And Jonah gets mad, and God sends some shade for him. And then a worm eats the plant, and the shade's gone. And it's just a crazy story. And now Jonah is so mad, he no longer has purpose in life because his comfort has been taken away. His shade has been taken away. He's angry enough to where he doesn't even see a purpose in living anymore. And it's absurd. And I think the absurdity of the story was meant to mimic our lives in some way. You see, I think it's absurd in my own life when I put all of my hope and my desire and my purpose in life in things that grow up over my head one day and wither away and die the next. That when I look for my meaning and purpose in life in things like having a nice house and the car that I drive or having enough money in my bank account. And if I have those things, then I'm happy. Even though we know those things are fleeting, they're here for a moment, and then they're gone. Jonah had put his desires and his purpose and comfort and his little mission, and God says, there's so much more. There's so much more. See, I see this in my kids too. My kids, they get where if I just had this, everything would be perfect. And they've told me so many different things now that if I just had this, my life would be perfect. And you know what? After they get those things, their life is not perfect. We got a PS4. My son said, if I just had a PS4, everything would be great. You don't understand, Dad. I would just be so happy. And you know, he's the same kid he was before he got the PS4. We went to a trip a couple weeks ago, and we went into this surf shop and down at near Miami, and the kids were, it was a little vacation for us, and so we said they all could buy a little souvenir for like $5 or whatever. And they misunderstood what we said, and they all got like shopping carts and started loading up stuff that they were going to get. And as they came to check out, we said, no, we said $5. If you guys want to put some extra money towards it, then you can do that. And so they all, like my daughter Harper gets a ukulele, like this little Hawaiian ukulele thing, because she loves Soul Surfer. And so she's like playing the ukulele one-handed, like the Soul Surfer girl, and she calls it her banjo-lo. I don't know exactly, it's like a mixture of a banjo and something. And so she's just so thrilled. My son Wyatt buys this ball that bounces on the water, and he's like, oh, this is going to be so awesome. My life is made now. And as we left the store, literally before we even left the parking lot, my son Wyatt had buyer's remorse and was like, can I take this back? I don't want this. I'm like, no, you picked it out. That's what you got. But Dad, I hate this. Why? Dad? This is terrible. And I'm like, it's crazy, right? The things that we think will make us happy, they don't. We see it in our kids, but so often we don't see it in ourselves. The things that we're chasing after, that we're investing our lives in, it's not stuff that's going to last. God calls Jonah to something bigger. Jonah 4:10, 10 through 11, says, the Lord said, you feel sorry about that plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. The NIV says, who don't know their right hand from their left, not to mention all the animals. It's like, Jonah, wake up. Wake up. There's a bigger mission in life than just your own personal comfort. There's something that's so much more important. There's 120,000 people who need to know me. You know, as I think about that trip in Ecuador, I've been on a lot of mission trips in my life. And that trip was a strange one because it was like the worst trip I've ever been on. Okay, like I got a picture here. This was in Ecuador. This is what most of my week looked like when I was sick. I'm laying in a hammock outside of like where we're staying, and I'm just nauseous, throwing up, you know, diarrhea. There's no toilet paper. You know, you all know the story. It's terrible, and I'm just miserable. And I'm like, God, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Can you just get me out of here? I mean, all I could think about was my own comfort. So in that sense, it was the worst trip ever. But later in the week, we went into Santo Domingo, and we were doing this VBS, and like hundreds of kids come. And we do this service, and we share the message of Jesus Christ. And I meet these two girls, Maria and Melina. And they reminded me of my older daughter, Emery, and I'm like kind of homesick at this point. And so I'm talking to them, and just they're beautiful girls. And as I'm talking to them, and they've been at this service, I just felt God asking me to ask them where they were with him. And I just said, where are you guys at with Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? And Maria looks at me and says, like, you know, I'm Catholico. She's Catholic. But she'd never really been to church. And she said, I heard the name Jesus once from my uncle when I was a little girl. She'd only heard Jesus' name one time in her life. The other girl had never even heard of the name of Jesus. And in that moment, I invited a translator over and the pastor, and we were able to lead these two little girls to the Lord. And we gave him a Bible, and it was just amazing, and I was so excited. And I'm talking to this pastor, and I was asking him, you know, in Santo Domingo, how many churches are there? Like, where are they going to go? And this is a city of like 300,000 people. He said, I only know of two Protestant churches in a city of 300,000 people. And as I was in this situation, it's like God reminded me, Brent, what is the big deal? your little mission, so you were sick a little bit this week, you're a little bit uncomfortable. There's a bigger mission. There's a bigger mission. There's a whole city of kids like these kids, people that are far from me, that need to know about my love. The story ends in verse 11, and it ends with a question. It says, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in it, that are living in spiritual darkness. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? The NIV says, should I not be concerned about that great city? Should I not be concerned? Now, I live in Daytona Beach, and we did a demographic study of the area around our church. And what we found was that in like a 10-mile radius around the church, that 50% of the households were led by a single mom. Single mom with kids. It's a poor area around where the church is, and 50% of the households were a single mom with some kids. And as a staff, we started asking ourselves this question, should we not be concerned about these single moms and these kids? And we started a ministry for single moms led by some single moms in our church, and they were having 30, 40, 50 single moms show up to hear about Jesus, but they didn't have anything to do with their kids. And so we started a thing called Kids Clubs, and the whole goal was to help kids who normally wouldn't get to experience things like lessons and sports because they cost money, that we would do it for free, and at the end we would share the message of Jesus with them. And so we started a ballet club and a dance club and several other clubs, and we started a judo club. We had a guy in the church, he was a black belt in judo, and he had like 25 kids coming out, and he said he needed some help, and so he asked me, and I said, sure, I'll help you out. And so I ordered a black gi online and a green belt. I just ordered it off the internet, right? Because I didn't want the kids to outrank me, and I didn't want them to think I didn't know anything. And for a couple months, we're doing this class together, and Ricardo, the black belt, has to leave, and his family's moving, and Ricardo's Cuban, and I can't do a Cuban accent very well, but he's like, Brent, you got to keep the judo club going. I'm like, Ricardo, I don't know judo. He's like, but these kids need Jesus. Do you care about these kids? And so I'm teaching a judo class, right? When I don't know judo, I'm watching things on YouTube like an hour before the class so I can teach them something. Because I'm concerned about some kids who need to know there's a God who loves them. We've seen a lot of moms and a lot of kids come to Christ just because we were concerned. We were concerned that they would know if there's a God that loves them. I was talking to Jack before the service that here in Georgetown, it's like 32,000 people right now. It's the fastest growing city in Kentucky. And I think we're saying in the next 10 years, it's going to be close to 50,000 people here in Georgetown. And God would say to you, are you not concerned? Are you not concerned that just like in Nineveh, there's people in Georgetown living in spiritual darkness who don't know their right hand from their left, that are far from God? Are we not concerned? You know, I think if we'll allow ourselves, God will put a burden in our heart to the point where a guy that doesn't even know judo will teach judo to kids. What kind of burden would God put on your heart this morning for the people that he's concerned about? You know, the story ends with a question mark, should I not be concerned? But it's really not a question whether God's concerned. He sent Jonah. He sent Jesus, who laid down all of his comforts and took up a cross and laid down his life. We know God's concerned. The question is, will you and I be concerned? Will we be concerned about what God's concerned about? If I have you all just stand with me this morning. Just bow your heads with me. Just pray that God would put a burden on your heart, that God would give you a concern for someone right now, someone specific who's away from God. Maybe that God would birth a dream in your heart, something that you would say, I'm so concerned, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to start this. I'm going to join this. Maybe this morning you are away from God. You've gone the opposite direction. This morning I want you to hear this, that God's concerned for you. And he comes to you a second time this morning and says, I love you. I want you to be part of my family. Father, I just pray that, God, as we leave this place, God, that we would carry your burden, that we carry your concern. God, we know how concerned you are. But God, we face the same struggle that Jonah did, whether we're going to live for a smaller mission, our mission, or whether we're going to sell out and go all in to a bigger mission, a mission that will last. God, would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? God, would you give us a concern for those that are far from you? Let's pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be closing out the service, but if you would take a second and you've got a connection card or your all's welcome card, you'd fill that out to drop into the bucket. If there's some kind of decision that you feel like God's leading you to make this morning, or maybe you just want to say, this is who I'm concerned about, or this is what I'm concerned for, what I'm going to do. And just let somebody know here on staff. The staff is an amazing staff here at the church. I know they'd love to be there for you and be praying for you. But I appreciate you all being with us this morning, and I just want to tell you that God loves you, and I'm excited to see what happens when God's people get concerned about the things that he's concerned about.